I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined by Alex. What's up?
What's good, man? We're exhausted. You're exhausted.
We're mentally and physically exhausted after the Toronto Raptors outlasted the Milwaukee Bucks in a must-win Game 3 by a score of 118-112. I mean, just before we go into any of the game action, this was just like an emotional roller coaster. Like, the Raptors were up 4 in the last, like, 40 seconds of regulation, and up 4 again in the final minute of the first overtime. Both times they blew it. Both times they went the distance. And, like, I mean, in the end, it was really just, I think for me, the way I saw it was it just came down to a difference in will. Kawhi somehow found it within himself to hit another gear on a night where he played 42 minutes. And
52
minutes, yeah. And everyone else was just kind of exhausted. Like, the Bucks couldn't
make
offense.
They needed that from Kawhi. Like, yeah. There was probably no other way that they were going to win by the time they got to the second overtime.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle had already fouled out. Like, I mean, it felt like ages ago. Like, they played an entire half of basketball without Kyle Lowry. And, you know, Norman Powell fouled out, which is big because Norm is like the third best player on the Raptors right now.
Yo, Norm really just came out of nowhere after game 2.
No, for real,
like,
man.
Suddenly now he's back in the rotation.
Yeah, it was actually funny because, like, there were entire games against Philadelphia where he wouldn't play.
Like, I was actually slightly disappointed that Norm didn't start tonight.
Yeah.
When Nick was doing – well, Nick did this whole –
yeah.
So Nick said he was going to make lineup changes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he told the reporters after the game that he never said starting lineup changes.
Wow.
So that's Nick once again just outsmarting all of us.
What was the
point?
He's
that meme of the guy pointing at his head.
What was the point of that, though? I didn't see the point of that, to be honest. Because it wasn't like the Bucks were like, oh, really? Okay, well, then we'll start our better optimal starting lineup of Brogdon over Mirotić. Like, if that happened, I'd be like, Nick, what are you doing? I'd rather have Mirotić out there at 3.
I think Nick just wanted you to know that he did this once in the British Basketball League.
Yo, with the Manchester Giants or whatever?
They will be Giants.
Yo, honestly, going back to Game 7, like, in the press conference before the game, he was like, man, I played a lot of elimination games in my career.
He was asked if he was nervous. And I think it was perfectly okay for a rookie NBA head coach to admit that there's some nerves.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's very relatable. And it's just honest.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't give that to us.
No.
He wouldn't give that to
us. You know how many times he was in the situation with the Iowa G League team? You know?
Yeah, like the Iowa charge. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You haven't done your homework?
For sure, that's the Canton charge.
We should start the game at when Kyle fouled out, though. You want to start there?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, look, Raptors came out first half, played really well.
Sure.
First quarter, played really well. I think, Mark established himself early on. Pascal got to the rim a couple of times. Raptors made enough threes. And defensively, I think they forced the Bucks into a bunch of turnovers. And so, Raps were up 8 at halftime. Bucks had hit a couple of threes, you know, for the most part, I thought defensively the Raptors were good in the half court. It was just occasionally they would take bad shots and the Bucks would run the other way and capitalize in transition.
But they got something from Mark.
Yep.
They got something from Norm.
Yep.
And that was really like the difference in the first half in terms of like two guys stepping up, right?
Oh yeah. And like we'll circle back and talk about Mark, but like it's a huge bounce back performance from Mark, and I'm really just personally happy for him. But
same.
Third quarter, it's real tense. It's like blow for blow. You know, Raptors lead for almost all of it, but then they have to go to the bench lineup.
Jody Meeks minute.
Jody Meeks came in for a minute. Fred VanVleet was out there. And
you kept saying to me in the third quarter that he won't be out there to start the fourth.
I mean, I thought he was just in to buy 3 minutes.
Yeah. But no, then he was in there to buy 30 minutes.
Oh, my God. And
Fred finished with 30 minutes.
Yeah, and look, listen, Fred bounced back a little bit, but
he did hit a three. Boxed out. He boxed out, right?
He boxed out.
No,
his
but man. It was down by the end of the game. It was like, yo, just make a couple,
basic
basketball plays.
That's true. Look, Fred bounced back, but the context leading up to that in that third quarter, where like Fred made a drive, completely missed Norm wide open on the wing. Tries to force a pass to, I forget who was in the corner. It gets turned over. The Bucks go the other way. And then he takes a bad shot and doesn't go in. And it's just like, what is going on? And it's like, you figure Kyle's going to come back. Because Kyle was dealing with a bit of foul trouble. Like,
Kyle had four fouls heading into the fourth.
Yeah. And
he should have came back.
I thought he should have started. I thought he was going to start the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He didn't. He came in with like 2 minutes in, and he took out, I believe, Pascal. So it was in with a 2-point guard lineup. I don't know how the Bucks didn't just steamroll the Raptors. They were missing some open shots.
They missed a lot of open shots.
That was the time. I mean, like, the Bucks overall, I think Raptors defensively did a really good job smothering their 3-point shooters, just so that they have in games one and two. But that stretch right there, that was painful to watch them get so many open threes. And it was just sheer fortune the Raptors survived it. And then Kyle picks up a foul. So then he comes out for another 2 minutes just to, like, because he's on five.
Yep.
And then as soon as he comes back in, he gets tangled up with Giannis under the rim.
And that's it.
And yeah, Giannis.
Norm tried to claim that it was his foul.
No,
it was Kyle.
It was actually funny because Kyle was trying to push Norm to be like, yo, Norm, accept the foul. But Norm was like, bro, I'm on 5'2". Norm was like, yo, I'm more important than you at this point.
Norm was ready for his podium. He was ready for his podium. Yo, I want to ask you because you're the smarter person. I'm the stunt double.
I don't know about that.
What can they do about this, like, end of third quarter, start of fourth quarter thing? Because it's a thing. Like, it just keeps happening, right? Is there anything they can do, or is this just it because they don't have enough cards in the deck? Like, they're shuffling 7-8 guys every night.
I think one of the solutions would be just to, like, make a little quicker subs, like, and just get guys in for three possessions, right? Like, you see the Bucks do it. The Sixers definitely did it, right? But even the Bucks do it. Like, they'll just bring in Chris Middleton randomly for, like, you know, just two possessions, right? And I think, you know, for the Raptors, they could do some of that. But having said that, it's a little bit harder when, like, you know, they pretty much play Pascal for the entire first and the entire third, and they do the same with Kawhi, and they need these guys to get rest. And then outside of those two, I don't know who you can consistently generate offense out of. Like, I would probably try to sneak in, like, Mark for just, like, one or two possessions and help have him sort of be on the floor to help facilitate, but, like, I don't know. It's a consequence of the way the Raptors play. Like, they kind of have, like, pretty set subs, to be honest. And, you're seeing the Bucks try to capitalize. You're seeing the Sixers capitalize on it. And it's just
really frightening.
Yeah.
Even when
it makes it worse when Jody's on the floor. You're just what's going on?
On the floor, I don't know if it was you or someone mentioned that he should just dribble the ball out for a 24-second shot clock violation. Like, that might be the most positive, net positive play.
No, for real. Like, sometimes I'd actually prefer for Fred to dribble out the shot clock just because then it's a dead ball. And there is no, like, opportunity to run out.
Your expectation for Fred at the start of the fourth quarter was just don't turn the ball over.
Literally. I was
just get a shot. Find a shot for the offense.
Yeah, I mean,
he didn't meet that bar for you for a couple possessions.
No, and he was bad. And that's the thing. When Kyle Lowry fouled out, and there was, like, 6 minutes left in the game, and you're like, oh, word, the rest of this ride is going to be with Fred. And you're like,
I honestly don't know how. I mean, obviously Kawhi, but I don't know how the Raptors won that one. They led for 44 minutes, I think, in regulation, but it still feels like they stole that one.
Yeah.
They stole this one.
It felt like it. I mean, like, ultimately, the Raptors made enough plays down the stretch. I think, look, this is one thing that I didn't get to in 10 things because there's so many interesting, just tidbits from this game. But I think what we did see a little bit was that in crunch time, I'm not sure because of the way the Bucks are built that I don't think they have a reliable source of offense, right? Like, the Raptors can go to Kawhi, and even though it's a rudimentary play, it doesn't look great when he misses, whatever. He's going to get you a good shot because he can shoot, he can create his own shot. Whereas with Giannis, like, I just don't think it's the same. You can't always run that same, like, you know, Giannis drives into four guys and then, you know, kicks it out for a three or whatever. Like, it doesn't work as well. And so you're seeing the Bucks, like, their crunch time offense, like, it's weird. Like, Brogdon would get a turn going ISO, and then, like, Bledsoe would try to randomly do something. Chris Middleton took, like, a ridiculous three that almost gave the Raptors the game. And Pascal missed two free throws that would have made him like Nick Anderson, basically.
Yeah, Middleton was going for it all with that shot.
I don't know what he was doing.
Well, he was trying to put them up 3-0.
He was so contested, man.
I know, but that's a three. That's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a heat check.
I mean, he ended up tying the game anyway. He sent it to overtime.
But I mean, I know that was a low percentage play by him, but I only kind of understand because they played such a tight game here. Down the stretch, had a chance to take it. Like,
that would have been a series.
If he makes that shot, that's series, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a series-clinching shot right there.
Yeah.
Still shouldn't have taken it, but...
Yeah. And then Pascal misses two free throws. So that basically the Raptors up two. Yeah. I think Kawhi, whoever, had missed a jumper.
Yeah.
The Bucks go the other way. And then for some reason, Middleton decides to pull up over two guys in transition like he's Kevin Durant. And like he thought he was pulling up on LeBron like game three 2017. And it just did not work out. Pascal gets the rebound. He gets fouled. He bricks two free throws, let me get your stance on this. So Herbie.
Oh, man.
He likes to shush the crowd.
So he shushed them after the first miss, right? Is that what
he
did?
No, he shushed them before both free throws.
Okay.
And to me personally, I'm not sure what maybe the athlete specifically asked Herbie, hey, listen, we want the crowd to be dead silent and for us to shoot the free throw. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then Herbie, my bad, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Keep saying, Boone Jose. Yo, he just adds like...
Yeah, it's an accent fetish.
Yo, it's for real. Like, what is going on, man? Anyway.
Yo, you don't want Giannis as a Raptor.
No.
It's going to be troubled. So you have a problem with the hushing thing?
I just think, for me personally, you just
want the fans to be able to just do whatever you want. Like, yeah. Be natural.
Yeah. Right? Like, cheer. Like, if it's MVP chance or whatever, like, I think that only helps you, right? That keeps you in the moment. Whereas, like, the whole crowd goes quiet and all of a sudden a couple Bucks fans start yelling right before your show, like, ah! You know what I mean? Like, that would throw me off way more than if the crowd was just, like, a regular...
Well, my problem, you know, one problem I have is, like...
What's the point of cheering throughout the game?
No, like, I hear you. And, like, do you think fans actually like being told what to do and being prompted?
It's awkward.
And the one thing I have a problem with is in crunch time when the Bucks are on offense and the fans are chanting defense.
Yeah.
Sometimes Herbie will, like, chime in with his own defensive chant.
Oh, man.
Which I feel like should not be allowed because they don't do that at any other arena. I know these guys are locked in. They're, like, world-class athletes.
Uh-huh.
But how's the PA guy suddenly chanting defense with, like, 8 seconds left on the clock? It feels unfair to me. It's weird.
No, it's even funnier when Raptors get a rebound and Herbie goes, "Well done, Raptors!" And I'm like, "What?" Yo, but
yeah, the game ops thing has been a running issue for years.
You know,
among
what?
Media members. So
at least it didn't do the Freddie Mercury thing today.
Yeah, they skipped the Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, they skipped that.
They didn't have a top 10 TV mom segment on the Jumbotron right after the Raptors had a nice run in the third quarter, which is what happened in Game 7. Yeah. We'll give him those, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But anyway, so whatever.
He's going to get the Patrick Patterson Award tonight.
Yo.
Yo, we're giving it to him.
Herbie.
Yeah. Spoilers. It's going to be Herbie.
I mean, so Pascal misses those two free throws.
Middleton
and then
comes back.
And he, like, drives baseline.
Gets a put back on
Danny
his own
Green.
Miss, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, like, whatever. It's a great play.
But the Raptors still have time. Still have 2.2 left.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was it? Pascal from 35 feet?
Here's the thing. So obviously the first option was to go to Kawhi, and
Bucks called a timeout. I think.
So yeah, Raptors called timeout to line up.
Yeah, they got to look at it.
Bucks called timeout. And the thing is, like, the Raptors came out lined up the same way, like four guys right across from, like, you know, across the free throw line basically, and the options were for Kawhi to get it into the post, you know, Gasol being the trigger man, and the other option was Pascal fading out to the 3-point line. And obviously the first option is you have to Kawhi. He gets in the post. You know, he could take a turnaround jumper, which for 2.2 seconds is not a bad play. But I think, honestly, like, Gasol kind of just, like, rushed it a little bit. And he was like, oh, Pascal's open. Let's just hit Pascal. And so Pascal ends up taking a contested three over Brook Lopez. No chance of going in. Goes to overtime. First overtime period. Actually, you know what? It's funny. I don't even remember anything.
You might remember the sequence if I bring it up. I think Danny hit a three.
Yeah,
but then George Hill got a three right back on a real on a possession that was it Giannis missed two free throws? I can't remember if that was first or second overtime. There was a sequence where Giannis missed both free throws.
And then he kicked it to George Hill.
And he kicked it to George Hill in the corner.
Yeah.
Which I believe was the first overtime because Giannis fouled out pretty early in the second overtime.
That's true. Yeah.
So that sequence is what I remember.
Yeah.
Because I basically remember the Raptors having a lead and the Bucks just kept coming.
George Hill was so good in this game.
George Hill was good. He made clutch free throws, too. LeBron must be seething. He hit those two free throws.
J.R. Smith must be seething, man.
Yeah.
That was the...
Shouts to J.R. Smith.
Was
not
that the
playing.
Last time he played?
He played... Did he play a game this year, J.R. Smith?
No, he's just basically like... Remember...
J.R. Smith should get an NBA award at the award ceremony.
Remember, this is deep cuts for hardcore NBA fans. Remember when Wally Szczerbiak had that, like, expiring contract and everyone wanted to trade it? There was another one with, like, Troy Murphy was the same way.
Yeah.
He had, like,
they
a
just
weird,
didn't
funky
play.
Yeah, they just didn't play, but that was like, oh, he's an asset. You know, Danny Ainge is an asset and Troy Murphy.
Honestly, surprised J.R. didn't end up on a contender.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't there, like, a buyout situation?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, like, next year, this offseason, for example, he's going to be traded because his contract can be waived or whatever, and it's, like, you could save, like, $19 million. Anyway.
Yeah, this is a wild tangent.
Hey, I can't believe he's getting paid $19 million. Thanks to LeBron. But
So the Raptors had the lead for a bit in the first overtime. Yeah. I think they were up 4 at one point, right?
They were up 4.
And then how did the Bucks tie it again? It's all blurry.
It's all blurry. But let's just skip that.
But the thing is, the end of the first overtime, the Raptors again had a look to win it.
Yeah.
And Kawhi missed.
Well, yeah, this time they got the ball to Kawhi. I think the first option was to get him into the post. Brogdon did a really good job of denying him in the post, so he had to come off top to get the ball. And then from that point, he's dribbling on the defense, which isn't his best trait. And for some reason, he decided to go left instead of right. Like, you mean, remember the bounce, for example. He's driving all the way right into the corner, right? He didn't have enough time to go on in the corner, but, like, he didn't even try to go right at all. He just kind of went left and then pulled up for, I think, for 3. And it wasn't a good shot. And, like, or maybe I'm mixing that with regulation. But regardless, it just wasn't.
End of regulation was Pascal.
Yeah.
And end of first overtime was Kawhi.
Anyway, yeah, he missed the shot, so it's like, all right, cool. So,
and at this point, I'm starting to notice. I noticed this at the end of regulation too. Fans are leaving the arena,
which is, I quite honestly, like, I mean, I get people have kids and stuff, but that's like, it's, what are you doing? Like, you're paying like thousands of dollars.
That's just not real fandom to me. I don't even care how much money you're paying.
No, listen, if you got a kid, they got to go to school. First off, no, it's a long weekend.
Let the people from Jurassic Park come in. Let's swap one for one.
Yeah, no, for real. That's like, what we should do. Because it was like this game started early, too. It wasn't even like a 7:30 start or 8 o'clock start, which is usual in the playoffs.
It's a conference finals game.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the Raptors might never make it back here again, but you got to cherish these moments.
For real. And they really missed out because second overtime was a blur. But second overtime, I remember because Kawhi ended up like, it just looked like, first off.
So Giannis fouls out really early.
Yeah, Pascal drives on Giannis. Giannis tries to cut him off. Yeah. And I thought, I mean, In a game of this intensity, I thought they would usually let the superstars get away with something like that. It wasn't like he blatantly fouled Pascal. He just, like, Pascal drove and Giannis tried to cut him off. There was contact, but, like, they could have called it a no call. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if Giannis got that call as a charge. So he fouls out, and it's like, oh, shit, now what did the Bucks do?
Bucks took the lead right after, though.
They did. They
went up 2.
And I was like, the first time they led since, like, they were up 2-0 in the game. Like, it was so frustrating. But I mean, that's when Kawhi found another gear. And, like, we should contextualize this by saying that, like, early in the game, Kawhi went up for a transition play where it looked like he was going to dunk the ball, but then he only laid it in. And when he came back, it looked like he was favoring his leg a little bit.
Grabbing his leg or his hamstring.
Yeah. And, like, you know, he was, like, not hobbling around, I would say, but, like, he was just, it was a slight limp. And the thing with Kawhi is that, like, you know, he does look kind of labored most of the time, right? And we know the history there with the injury. But, like, on that play in particular, it was like, oh, my God, is he okay? Now, granted, he stayed in the game and he played, like, 52 minutes and stuff. But the context there was, like, Kawhi was exhausted. He was missing a lot of his jumpers. He had multiple chances to put this game away. It didn't happen. And double overtime, somehow he finds it within himself to get to this another gear where, I mean, the first play, I forget who forced a turnover, but, like, he goes in transition, and it was Pascal was right there. Nikola Mirotic was guarding 2-1.
The left-handed dunk, right?
And I don't know how Kawhi did it, but, like, he took off from beyond the dotted circle and dunked it.
He was just in the air.
Like, he was just in the air for the whole time, and it was just like,
he was, like,
what?
Gliding in midair.
It was
left-handed.
Yeah, it was just an insane play. And then a couple possessions later, I forget who it was, but, you know, the Bucks were trying to attack this little, like, pick and roll kind of thing with, like, Brogdon.
I think Brogdon and Brooke, maybe.
It was Brogdon and Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
Yeah. And, like, Kawhi helped and trapped Bledsoe. And then the ball, like, Bledsoe kind of, like, tried to, like, throw it behind the back and, like, hit it to Brogdon. It was a pretty good pass, too. But Kawhi somehow shifts across, pokes the ball free, and then it was still a loose ball at that point.
And Brogdon had the head start to get the ball. The ball was right there.
He was closer to him, and then somehow Kawhi gets a hand on it, pushes the ball ahead, perfectly in stride for a transition, and then he goes the other way.
Sprints past,
and he dunks it, and it's like,
that's the signature moment for me of this game, for sure.
Yeah. Seriously, like, everyone else was tired, everyone else was making mistakes, and, you know, we should say that, by the way, the Raptors' defense in both the fourth quarter and overtime and second overtime was spectacular. The Bucks really couldn't get a lot of good looks. And so when Kawhi got those little runouts, like, that was just massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was telling you, too, like, I know those plays that Kawhi made was incredible.
I can't believe.
But I think I'm, like, so desensitized and, like, I know Kawhi is this good that I just, when people are amazed by it, I'm like, yo, this is what he does. Like, well, this is what he does.
Part of the thing is Kawhi doesn't lean into the moment, like, the way, like, almost any other superstar would.
Kawhi
like,
hit the first Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history, and 2 days later would not even indulge reporters in three questions about it. That says everything about Kawhi leaning into a moment.
Well, what's your thoughts on when reporters, unnamed reporters, will ask Kawhi, like, hey, so some people are calling this a Canadian heritage moment. What are your thoughts on that? You know, like, what went through your mind when that was asked
to
Kawhi's face?
I started envisioning him in a Clippers uniform.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on, man. Come on.
I'm never invited back on this.
Kawhi, never. Come on. If you go to the Clippers, you'll never get Canadian Heritage Moment memes.
Listen, the dumbest...
That only applies to Canada's team.
The dumbest questions Kawhi was asked this year were all in LA.
Yo, what was, like, the Christmas one?
And I think there was another one, which I can't remember right now, but I still believe those were Masai plants. Masai planted reporters in LA.
Masai slipped Josh Bloomberg like $150. It's like, yo, listen, just ask him the most asinine question right now.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. But, like, I think you're right, though. Like, he doesn't have those, like, signature celebrations LeBron has, right?
No, he has, like, the Tiger Woods fist pump. That's about it.
Yeah. Not even Tiger Woods, man.
The one where he hit against Portland where the ball also bounced on the right baseline was kind of very similar to...
Yeah,
the same shot, although it was Damian Lillard contesting instead of Joel Embiid, and it was just a regular season game in March versus, you know, Game 7, but he had the little, like, he held the fist in midair and he pumped it, but the one play that I wanted to go to in the fourth quarter, in the double overtime with Kawhi was, so I think the Raptors only up 2, and then he's driving against Brogdon. Up to this point, Brogdon had done a pretty good job defensively against him, like, I thought better than Middleton.
Because they had to take Middleton off because he had 5.
He had 5 fouls, and... It wasn't like a great play, like, you know, there were some double teams, but then Kawhi sort of angled towards the baseline and the double team subsided. And, like, he just had Brogdon right there and he just literally, like, just
shoved him.
Like, he put him in a locker. It was like he bullied the man and then he got him for a layup. I think that put the Raptors up 4, and I don't think the Bucks really ever threatened after that point. But
that honestly reminds me so much of, you remember, like, when I think LeBron ditched the headband during the finals against the Spurs. And he just, like, put his head down and drove to the basket, like, the entire fourth quarter.
Yep.
Like, that's what Kawhi can do.
Yeah. That's – and again, I can't stress to you how difficult this would be, just in terms of energy and things like this, to do so in the second overtime period when you play 52 minutes.
You haven't even talked about – and we should talk about the defense on Giannis, right? It wasn't just Kawhi, but –
But, I mean, again, like, you know, Nick Nurse, you know, he pulled that little stunt. You know, he was like, oh, I'm going to change my starting lineup. He's like, nah, I like my starting lineup. It's great. And I honestly credit him for keeping with it because, like, at the end of the day, what you didn't really need Serge and Norm to play in a different context so much as you needed your guys to play better and up to potential. Like Mark, for example. Mark was trash in all of Game 2. Yeah. He took up responsibility. And really, it was his fault. I mean, he started off so poorly. And then this game, he comes out much stronger. And pride kicks in, and he plays a lot better. Anyway, but the fact that Nick switched the assignment so that Siakam started off, I guess, who was he on? I guess he was on...
Middleton?
Was he on Middleton? Maybe it was on Middleton. Oh, sorry, he was on Bledsoe.
Bledsoe.
Which I thought was clever because, you know, as Harrison Sanford pointed out, like, you know, we were talking after the game and stuff, and Harrison was like, you put Siakam on Bledsoe's, and so he starts off farther away from the basket, and so there's more opportunity off a miss for him to run. Now, it didn't necessarily translate, but that was clever. And we've seen Siakam guard point guards throughout sort of the playoffs, both this year and last year. But, like, putting Kawhi on Giannis, A, like, the energy it takes to guard Giannis, and B, like, it made the Bucks think twice. Again, it's not like Kawhi was shutting down Giannis one-on-one. That's literally impossible for just about any player in the NBA. But the fact that, you know, again, like, we've seen a lot of Raptors games this year. When Kawhi guards somebody, that player just starts thinking twice, like, do I really want to do this? You know what I mean?
Kawhi just erases a player.
He does. And, like, you look at it today, like, Giannis's stat line.
He had 23 rebounds, but the one thing that jumps out to me.
20 were defensive, whatever.
Yeah. The thing that jumps out to me is 12 points and 8 turnovers.
Yeah. 8 turnovers. And he fouled out. And towards the end, he was gassed. Like, he couldn't really generate offense in the same way.
Yeah. Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Bledsoe combined shot 11 for 48.
So that's incredible stuff, man. And I think, like...
And again, I know people will be like, you know, the Bucks missed their shots or whatever, but at some point you do have to credit the Raptors' defense.
Yeah, I mean...
For forcing these.
First three games, Bucks haven't shot better than 33% from deep.
Yeah, tonight they were 14 for 44 from three. 31%. 37% overall from the field. Yeah. And I think aside from, like, you know, the Game 6 blowout loss against Philly and the Game 2 against Milwaukee, like, the Raptors' defense has been reliable
in the playoffs. Definitely. And that's what keeps them in the game. That's the thing. I didn't think the Raptors could win a game like this against Milwaukee just on the basis that I thought Milwaukee would hit enough shots to win. But with the way the Raptors are defending, it is really a very confident approach, because most teams are like, yo, we'll take away the rim or the three-point line. Like, we'll give Giannis one-on-one coverage, or we'll sort of sag off and sort of let him shoot threes or whatever. Raptors are really coming into this like, no, we're not letting them have either. And sometimes it'll fail, and it'll fail spectacularly eventually. Like, I honestly think Milwaukee's due for, like, an 120-point game soon. I guess they just had one, but maybe another one. But, you know, when it fails, it'll backfire really, really bad. But, like, I think the Raptors have been really ambitious. They haven't really sold themselves short. Nick Nurse hasn't. He knows the defensive personnel on this team, and, like, they've just executed like crazy. And Kawhi today, obviously, guarding Giannis. I mean, I think two things. One, Giannis didn't shoot a lot of free throws, right? He shot, what, 7? In a game where he played 45 minutes.
Yeah, and I don't think he had any free throws in the first half.
No.
Maybe through three quarters even, I want to say.
Yeah, which is similar to game one, actually. He didn't shoot any free throws in the first half of game one. But Giannis also, he's been doing a lot of damage on the offensive glass. And a lot of that is just he drives, he sucks in the defense, and even if he misses, he's in prime rebounding position. And I just don't think he did that to Kawhi at all today. And Giannis only had 3 offensive rebounds, which I can live with that. Like,
yeah.
Just... how big he is, how much he's playing, how active he is, how close he is to rim, he's going to get 3 offensive rebounds. Like, Kawhi as a rebounding force is also big in this case, just because, you know, Pascal, there's one weakness he has. Like, the man doesn't rebound. Like, it's just annoying. Like, he went through all game two without a single defensive rebound as a power forward. And you put Kawhi in it, and it's just... Man, Kawhi did everything, man. I mean,
Kawhi
seriously.
Kawhi did everything.
I appreciate Kawhi.
I think the only thing that scares me about Giannis is when he gets in transition.
Yeah,
I think if it's a half-court thing, like you said, like, the game plan is there.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks are still going to find their shots, I think, if they move the ball
and
find the right guys. But, like, the Bucks are really good, man.
They are.
Like, they're really, really good.
Yeah. And, again, like, I mean, the Bucks, just offensively, they are a juggernaut. And so for the Raptors to hold them to 37% shooting overall from the field is... Quite frankly, it's incredible. It's incredible.
And you said, like, you know, at some point the Bucks are going to have a game where they're going to be like 20 of 42 from 3 or something, right?
Yeah.
But the Raptors didn't shoot well tonight either.
No.
I mean, good enough. I mean, 17 for 45 from 3 is pretty good for the Raptors.
For the Raptors is pretty decent.
That's
38%
really good. But
we'll
I mean, like,
done, like,
Danny was 1 for 9 from the field, 1 for 6 from 3,
oh
right?
Oh, my God, Danny.
And Fred, we've talked about Fred. He was 1 for 11, 1 for 8 from 3. Like, they need, for me, they need 2, like, unlikely heroes
every game.
Tonight, I would say that was, I mean, I guess I would put Mark as an unlikely, just because he needed to rebound from game 2.
100%.
I mean, that's part of the reason they lost, right?
That was a big reason they lost.
The Raptors are so thin in that.
Dog, he started out the game getting, like Giannis dunks all over him. He didn't get the rebound or whatever. And
once
then,
he,
like,
made that weird pass to Kawhi that was, like, off the backboard or something, like, that was it.
Man,
the Raptors are so thin.
So many times.
The Raptors are so thin in that they really need to win that starting shift.
Yeah,
with the
100%.
Starters. And that's the one reason why too. Like, I think I would have liked to see. I wouldn't have minded a starting lineup change.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think Nick knows that if you only have 8 guys to shuffle around with, that if you break up that starting five, that's kind of brought you here.
Yeah,
and that's showing the results on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you break that up, you just create new problems.
Yeah, of course. And again, it's not like it's any guarantee that Serge comes in and all of a sudden that's a magic, like, silver bullet solution. Like, no, you just need these guys to play better. And I think to the point with Mark, I mean, obviously the second hero is Norm, and we'll talk about Norm. But, like, I'm personally really happy for Mark, because I think as a guy who's so accomplished, like, at some point after you have a trash game like that, pride has to kick in.
Yeah, and he's too smart of a player, man. Like, honestly, it's not even about the shots that he made tonight. For me, it was like, okay, man, like, Mark's not the most agile guy out there.
No.
So if you're going to get beat by these physical, like these athletes mm-hmm. on Milwaukee, whatever, man. Like that's Mark, right?
Yeah.
Or if you go 0-for-8 from three, like shots sometimes just don't fall.
Yeah.
But it was just playing with confidence and playing smart.
Yeah.
And he was smart.
And I think this was actually his best game of the playoffs so far. Like, I just think the way he started out the game, like him hitting two threes and then him hitting, like even off an inbound pass on the baseline, Mark just caught it from the elbow area, like, and immediately shot the ball.
Yep.
And he switched it. And I was like, he established himself as a scoring threat. And all night, the Bucks were closing out hard on him. Mm-hmm. Like, Brook Lopez would leave his feet when he pump fake, or like Nikola Mirotic would leave his feet.
Changes everything.
Ilyasova. And then all of a sudden, then you have Mark getting into the middle of the paint and creating. Now, one time, he got into the middle of the paint, had a layup or dunk, and he threw like behind him, and he whipped it in for like a half court violation, or maybe the Bucks caught it and went and scored the other way. And I was like, "What the hell are you doing?" But then, like, I thought even then he rectified that mistake in double overtime when he slipped to the rim and just like went up strong and then took a huge hit from Nikola Mirotic, and he stepped to the line for two free throws. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his aggression tonight, like the fact that he can actually keep the defense on his toes and not just be a passive force and either turning down shots or missing shots or whatever, it was massive. Because like, he also is a really good playmaker. Tonight he led the Raptors with 7 assists. Yeah. And like, early on the game, like part of the reason why Siakam and stuff were able to get to the rim was because Mark was actually establishing himself, beating his man, getting into the paint, forcing a rotation, and he was slipping over to there was one gorgeous bounce pass because he posted up Ersan Ilyasova hard, got all the way to the rim, and he fed Pascal. And that's the shit we need to see more of, not in just this series, but like just, you know, for as long as Marc Gasol's on the Raptors, he needs to assert himself as a scorer.
That's why I don't get why sometimes he goes into these funks where he hesitates to shoot, because he's too smart. He must know that by shooting the ball, it opens up the playmaking for him, which is really what he wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. And even today, I mean, he had more assists than field goals.
Yeah, but yeah. We got to shout out Pascal, too. Pascal had a tough game, in game two. And, like, I was telling you, too, during the game, like, he's been up and down throughout the playoffs at times. But I've been really impressed by him. Just, like, bouncing back from game to game. And even tonight, missing those two free throws and then coming back. I was really happy that he got that moment at the end of the second overtime to ice it with those two free throws.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we're watching him, like, just grow.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, here and there, like, you know, getting the experience. And that's why I really want Kawhi to come back next year, because I want to see what that team is like.
Oh, yeah.
With Kawhi and Pascal.
I miss it, man. It's been since game one of the Sixers series when we've been putting out the Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen memes
for these two.
It's been a while. Both of them have great games individually, but not together.
We were approaching like Judd Bushler. No.
Come on, man. No, I mean, the thing is, like, the weird thing is you're starting to see limitations in Pascal's game.
Yep.
And again, like,
he still gets shy sometimes, too.
He still gets shy sometimes. And, like, you know what, though? And there was honestly a stretch in the game in the second half, you know, before the overtime periods, where I thought Pascal was turning down some opportunities and stuff. But, like, quite honestly, like, yeah, obviously there are limitations in this game. This is the first time he's a starter, and he's in the Eastern Conference Finals against Embiid along the way, right? Against even Isaac was a really good defender against him, right?
And he's a number two option. And at times when Kawhi's not on the court, he's being counted on to be the go-to scorer.
And he's, like, facing double teams. Yeah. The Bucks are a really good defensive club. They're putting Giannis on him with Brook Lopez helping at the rim. Like,
that's respect.
That's a lot of respect. And that's like, respect. It takes some time to figure it out. Yeah. He might not figure it out within the context of this series, but I thought today he played his role really well. He got to the rim, and really, like, him fouling out Giannis is a sign of him being aggressive and attacking Giannis. And quite honestly, I know it's not the most high percentage play for him to attack Giannis, but you have to make Giannis work. You have to slow down, take a bite out of Giannis, and just basically just make him work, exhaust him a little bit, maybe put him in foul trouble because there will be contact and stuff. And, like, you have to go from there. Like, Pascal needs to obviously do a lot better than what he did in games 1 and 2. But, like, you've seen it today. I thought his effort overall, I mean, he also had that great block against Brook Lopez in double overtime as well. For him to have the energy to do that is just very impressed by Pascal. And, again, like, it's just the same way with Mark. Like, I'm thrilled that Pascal, you know, had that performance.
Yeah, Norm. Yo, they got to put that mural up at Osmos. Come on.
No, for real.
They got to take... leave Fred. I like Fred.
Yeah, Fred's playing basketball like he's eating Osmos, for sure.
So we need the Norm Powell
mural
at Osmos and a Will Lou mural at the Yahoo office. We're going to get Keyshawn on that.
It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Keyshawn got Photoshop skills.
Okay, listen. Norm, before game two, before he had that third quarter stretch, like he was like barely in the rotation.
Dude, there were games where he played like 4 minutes, 3 minutes.
Yeah. I think he played a combined like 33 minutes in his last five playoff games before that.
Yeah. And tonight he plays, you know, 29 minutes and 37 seconds. Would have played 30 plus easily if he didn't foul out. And
barked like, at the Bucks bench after hitting a three in the second quarter, pounded his chest.
Yep. I like how decisive Norm is at attacking because the Bucks, they are rotating, they are closing out hard, and like they're rushing guys and they're forcing guys to dribble. You're seeing with Danny. Danny can't put it on the floor and make a play. No. It's not his game at all, and he can't do it, right? But Norm can actually do it. He can actually attack baseline, and he's
and transition too. He's got transition. The speed.
Yep.
And if he's making those shots, and he's good on D, that's the thing, man. That's why I keep saying like they need two guys every game to step up because the Raptors are so inconsistent. They have so many inconsistent guys, like from game to game. Mark, you can put Kyle in there scoring wise. Kyle does everything else every game, but scoring wise, Kyle. I mean, Danny. It's been a tough playoffs,
man. It's been a
he
tough
played
playoffs.
Good defense tonight though.
Yeah, sure.
Norm, Fred, obviously Serge. Like it's just such
that's the whole team.
It's a group, but that's
everybody.
What I'm saying,
everybody, except
even
Kawhi.
You can even throw Pascal in there.
Yeah, Pascal's
you can even throw Pascal in there, and that's the tough thing, right? Like, you just have to hope that like out of those six guys, two of them need to have an above average game.
Yeah,
every game, you need a certain number of points to beat the Bucks, and it's not 90, it's not 100.
Yeah.
Like I think you got to get to like 110.
They even got lucky today.
Yeah.
Their offense are like, I don't think their offense produced necessarily at a rate they necessarily needed them to, but like, it's really, today it was their defense that won the game. Defense and Kawhi making a couple of huge plays.
And the defense will make a difference, but at some point the Bucks,
they'll get hot, and then all of a sudden you're screwed. Also, you only got two losses left. You know what I mean? Like
two losses left. I think the Raps legit need to get to 110 points like every game.
Yeah. And we saw in the regular season, too. The only time the Raptors beat the Bucks, they got to, like, 121 points.
Or
and the starting
other,
lineup scored, like, 117 by themselves.
Or the other way, you just got to win ugly like this.
And,
like
and
close
this
games
unlikely.
In the fourth.
This is unlikely.
Yeah. Like, close game in the fourth, like you said, if there's one edge the Raptors might have is that late-game offense, right?
Yeah.
Versus the Bucks. But that's a tightrope. That's a tightrope.
That is a real tightrope.
That's a tightrope. But we're trying to find a way to four wins right now.
Yeah.
Trying to find a way to four wins. And you know what? The one thing maybe you can take out of this is that the Raptors didn't really play their, like, A game. Like, maybe there's an A game at homecoming on Tuesday. I don't know.
Sure, maybe. That'd be nice.
But listen, the one thing, all we wanted today was to walk out of the arena not down 3-0.
Oh, yeah, for
That's
sure.
That's it. We can break this down.
Over,
we can break this down 100 ways.
Season would have been over.
It's 2-1 right now.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens.
All right, let's do three stars. First star, Kawhi Leonard, enough said. 36 points. 11 of 25 shooting, 52 minutes, hit 2 of 4 from 3, 12 of 13 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, plus 10 in 52 minutes. The man played 52 minutes. This man, like, you're telling me the he's going to play 52 minutes for the Clippers? I mean, come on, man. He's
what, in a first-round loss?
Yo, relax. yo, come on, give Kawhi some respect. He's not losing the first-round team. But, like, it's just, again, it's incredible that the first impression we get is, like, a tweet saying, oh, Kawhi has no desire whatsoever to play in Toronto. Someone, he gets traded on July 18th. And now, a couple months, 9 months later, you have Kawhi playing 52 minutes and single-handedly
saving
pushing
the season.
Over the top.
Saving
again,
the season.
Saving the season. Again. Dude,
saving
the
season.
The last time he was on Scotiabank in this arena, he hit that bounce jumper. And then like this, he does this. I mean,
yo,
like,
they got to strip the Raptors logo at center court. For game four, I want to see Kawhi's face at center court.
That Kawhi dying thing? Just put it on the
that's it.
Yeah. Second star. Who are you getting second star to?
You know what? I'm going to give it to Mark.
Yep.
I'm going to give it to Mark. 16 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 44 minutes.
Yep.
I think they needed that starting lineup to play well coming out. Yep. And obviously, like, all eyes was on Mark. Like, Mark's so important, man.
He
he's the nucleus.
To redeem himself.
He's the nucleus, man. Like,
he's
the hub.
He is the hub, especially defensively. Hub. Right? Yeah. Like, I thought, honestly, like, in this series, like, it makes more sense to play Serge. And, like, I think peak Serge does bring a lot. But, like, I think tonight, Mark, I mean, it's not even just the way he was closing out the rim and stuff like that, because he's always been really good at that. But the energy and, like, the way he would sky towards, like, closing out on corner shooters and like the energy he showed. Yeah. It's I just don't think that Well, at least me personally, I didn't think a 34-year-old can do that and play this many minutes. And tonight, he proved us all wrong. And it was a huge bounce-back game for him. Like, really, the subtext of this game was that Marc Gasol went from being Chuck Hayes in Game 2 to being back to Marc Gasol. And yeah. This is the Gasol we expected.
No, if Kawhi saved the season in the second overtime, then Mark like, gave them a chance to save the season in the first quarter.
Yeah. And Giannis struggling so much is Kawhi plus Mark defensively. Yeah. Two defensive player years against one MVP. Like, it's a great battle. And then third star.
Just split it between Norm and Pascal.
Yeah. I would give the slight edge to Pascal, ultimately. But 9 of 18 from the field, 2 of 5 from deep. You know, you got 11 rebounds. This is huge. I need to see Pascal rebound the ball, man. 3 steals and that block at the end there, 25 points in 51 minutes. I mean, the one thing with Pascal I will say is that he does need to do a better job of recognizing when the help is coming and not forcing shots. Because a lot of times if he misses, like, the Bucks are going the other way, and the Raptors as a whole really need to take better shots, but like especially Pascal, he needs to again identify just where the help defense is coming from, and that's not easy. It's a big adjustment for a guy this
still
age.
Learning to play basketball, man.
Still learning to play basketball, but I mean, he played a hell of a basketball game tonight. Gerald Henderson tonight, George Hill. You want to go George Hill or Brogdon?
Yeah, we can just forever give it to Brogdon. So Brogdon had 20 points tonight. Jesus. George Hill with 24. I didn't know George Hill had
24 points.
We might need to check this box score for typos right now. Yeah, I did not know George Hill got to 24 points. I know Brogdon. Like, Brogdon, like, seemingly, like, just never misses. I'm going to give it to Brogdon.
Yeah,
You think they're starting Brogdon next game? You think that adjustment is coming? Everyone keeps talking about it.
I mean, I mean, all I see is that he's outplayed Nikola Mirotic 3 games in a row. I think the only advantage to bringing Brogdon off the bench is that, like, you know, you can have, like, well, you have him in a Ginobili style role, but I think defensively they need somebody to guard Kawhi when Middleton's out. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I would put my strongest lineup against the Raptors' strongest lineup, so I would put Brogdon. But
we finally found an unlikable buck too in Mirotic.
You know, he has such like a Sid the Sloth face. Like, it's annoying watching.
When he drew that foul on that 3-point shot when he wasn't even shooting.
Yeah. I mean, Norm did close out real hard.
You know what?
But
smart vet move, though.
That was a vet move, man.
Smart vet move.
No, Mirotic is annoying. And you know, I thought Mirotic would hurt the Raptors more in this series. He just really hasn't. Like, he's gone on an offensive glass a couple times, and that's been annoying. But overall, they've done a pretty good job against him. But. Man, I can't believe George Hill had 24 points.
Yeah, this might be a typo.
That's wild. He had 24 points? Yo, LeBron watches. Yo, seriously, LeBron must be seething, man.
Oh, LeBron is seething, man. With the way Rodney Hood was going off in the second round, too.
Yo, what's your... Yo.
Come on.
That's what happens when you play with LeBron, though.
Come on.
Take note, Kawhi. Yeah, so Gerald Henderson, we'll give it to Brogdon. And George Hill, actually. They got to split that award. I mean, the two of them combining for 44 points is nuts.
No, respects.
And then the Pat Patterson Award.
Herbie Kuhn.
Herbie. Oh, yeah, that's right, Herbie. I wanted to be disrespectful and give it to Giannis, but I like Giannis too much. Although, during the fourth quarter, I wouldn't say, I don't want to repeat what I said, but I was not particularly happy with Giannis.
What was Giannis doing
that
you weren't happy about?
Oh, no. I was just like, you know, he got hit hard, and I'm just, yeah, I might have been a little bit happy.
Oh, yeah,
moment,
no, I remember that.
I mean, he got up, though. I love Giannis, man. There's nothing against Giannis.
Drake was talking a lot of trash to Giannis, which goes back to my thing. Let's just let, you know.
Where's Drake been at these days? He came back, like, I don't know if it was like a...
Very nice tan.
He was heavily tanned.
Yeah. He was into the game, though. I mean, more than usual.
I'm sure the broadcast was showing him all the time.
Yeah, like, he barely sat.
What happened to Drake coming on the broadcast?
Yeah.
I kind of missed that.
Him and Devlin have a good chemistry.
Yeah, because Devlin laughs at everything he says.
Yeah. No, him and Devlin are, like, cute together. Like, it's a good chemistry.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gucci Mane was in the building, too, wearing a Giannis jersey.
Yeah, they left the arena together.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. We had the TMZ cams out.
No, for real.
I
have to forget my glasses, so I have to go back to the elevator.
I know
area.
This doesn't matter. Actually, yeah, I saw you walking towards him, and I was like, oh no, is Will doing a rookie move and following him like out the tunnel?
No. That's
only cabbies allowed to do that around here.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know this is not a big deal, but like I am forever against Drake like trying to rile up the opposing players.
Yeah.
Like, let's not do that.
No.
Just have a good time. But he was, like, very aggressively, like, waving goodbye to Giannis and, like...
Good.
Talking trash, like, let's just leave it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Raps in 6. I'm back.
Let's... All right, Raps in 6. I mean, that'd be crazy. The Raptors pull off 3 straight wins after this. I mean, I don't know how they would have to do it What was that tweet you put out? Like, game one, Norm probably has to have 35.
Yeah, so Norm had to have 35 tonight.
Yeah, it's Kawhi 19 is basically 35.
Yeah, Kawhi hits another buzzer beater, five bounces in game four.
Sounds like, honestly, that's the only way I'm envisioning they win game four.
Danny Green, 12 threes on the road in game five. Danny is due for 12 threes.
Danny Marshall due, Green.
Yeah, and then Kyle, 50-point game, game six.
They're like, Kyle will never have a 30-point game again.
He jumps on the scorer's table and goes, this is my city.
In Milwaukee.
And then he no, game six. Game six. It'll be at home.
That's right.
Game
home.
Six. And then then he will shove Nick aside and coach the finals himself.
Yo.
He'll be a player coach.
Shout out Kyle Lowry for getting fouled out and then coaching the rest of the game.
He was talking to Nick giving him, not giving him instructions, maybe giving him suggestions.
I'm telling you.
During every timeout.
Every single Raptors fan would, this is no offense to Nick, every single Raptors fan would rather Kyle Lowry coach the team.
Kyle's a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy. He's the smartest guy.
I think he knows this team very well.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Guess that's it.
Yeah, except the after timeout plays were on Nick, though. That was not on Kyle.
Yeah. We'll do an in-depth evaluation of Nick when this is all done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tonight, they got the job done. You know, everyone except Herbie.
Herbie. Yo, we're really riding Herbie hard. I can't even look him in the eye next game. It's going to get awkward. Should we reveal that we got confused for the?
Oh,
you got confused for me again.
Yeah.
We won't name names.
Unnamed national writer came up to me in the media room and he was like, "You're Stephen LeBron, right?"
I should have
strung him on.
So
man.
this year I've been confused for you.
Yeah.
Once and you've been confused for me once.
Yeah.
So we need a tiebreaker.
We
need Lee Jenkins to come through. With the Clippers brass.
Oh, he's not here.
Yo, we need Lawrence Frank to come through and think that you're me and just confront you. Because all he does is search his name on Twitter and it's only me tweeting about him.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well,
we had a good time tonight.
This is good, man. We should go home. It's real late.
I'm sorry for interrupting your solo podcast.
No, this is great. It's always much easier when I only have to do half the talking. So, everyone, thanks for listening. Go enjoy what is it this week?
Victoria Day.
Go enjoy Victoria Day. Go have your 2-4s or whatever. Go
hit up the patios. Patio's looking
patio,
nice.
Patio,
right,
you know, yeah, the fireworks or whatever.
Yeah.
If
you're gonna leave early for Tuesday's game, just give your ticket to someone else.
Yeah, seriously. What are you doing leaving early? Like, come on. Like, it's literally a long weekend. What are you doing?
If you're rich enough
to go to the game in the lower bowl, why are you going to work on a holiday? There's no way. So,
I don't even think we're being too hard on these people. Like,
no.
You can't.
How could
this.
You leave a game like this?
Like, don't. Well, they're not going to the office tomorrow, but don't go to the office on Tuesday and, like, brag about how you were at the game.
If you
left, like, at the end of regulation.
Yeah. Or maybe they were too stressed.
Well, I'm saying my theory was that...
That I can't blame them on, actually.
My theory
this game
is that,
was real stressful.
My theory is that, you know, most of them wear jerseys over their dress shirts, and it's uncomfortable. So after 48 minutes, you got to call it a wrap.
Wow. All right. That's for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Rate, review, subscribe, and I'll be back, actually, before game four for a look at the series. And so...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Catch me then. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.